crowd, but they can't bring matzor in. There's a guy, Weber, leading the group, who knows the whole Rosh Hashanah by heart. And a guy from Hebron was there, and he was interviewed yesterday. He describes how the Arabs who saw them were kind of like smiling.
They were?
They were like smiling. Only one guy gave them a dirty look.
Really?
He was interviewed by Nachum Siegel yesterday. I was crying.
That's interesting.
Listening.
Are they allowed to go up there?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking everybody. So,
I mean,
officially they let them up, yes.
No, I'm saying halachically, I'm saying.
Oh, you're asking me? I'm asking you.
It sounds like you better go up for Kippur. Does he need Kippur?
Washington.
This is the big machlokas. They were careful where they went. They know where they go.
Of course.
This guy Weber's a Talmud Chacham. So what do you say? Are you laughing?
I don't know.
Big argument going on.
This meeting is being recorded.
Zoom accident. All right, Abotai. Well, we want to welcome Yosef Yehezkel that is joining us this morning. That's a pleasant surprise. He's joining us either from Los Angeles or Surfside or Las Vegas. He's all over the map. We really can't keep up with him. But it is a pleasure to have him with us today. He's been a long admirer of our shiurim for many years and a supporter of Kollel Chatzot from time to time. His father, bless him, is a very fine man, Tamid Hacham. He started a chat a few years ago. He had a miracle happen to him, and he decided to pay back, so he gives him the Devrei Torah every day. And turned out the thing went on wildfire. Mm. Started with a small bunch of guys telling him some Hadushim every day, and before you know it, you see my stuff, it's 45 minutes until I get the point out, so people don't have patience for it.
Yeah.
This guy, bing, 2 minutes, bullseye, it's the point, that's it, they go to work. They don't have to waste the whole day trying to, you know, wait for me to, you know, say what I have to say. His father, Michael Yehezkel, and good guy. We want to welcome him, and we wish him a Shana Tova Murechet, and all the blessings should be on him and his family for the new year. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you know we don't give that introduction to every single straggler that comes into the class. It's only important people that come in from time to time, so we give them the blessings. Today, Rabotai, we're learning Parashat Vayelech. It's the shortest parasha, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's only 30 pesukim. And we can't get out of the box. What I mean to say is, the first word in the parasha is where all the hachamim are struggling to try to understand what does it mean. Vayelech Moshe, vaydaber et hadevarim ha'ele el kol Yisrael. Now it's not shocking that Moshe went to speak the word of God to the people. That's what he did his whole life. But what do you mean, Vayelech? The Torah never introduces when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to speak to the people that he went. Well, we know he went. Obviously, he's going from point A to point B to speak to the people. Usually, the Torah says, Vayedaber Adonai Moshe Demor, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Demor. But all of a sudden, over here, the Torah introduces the final speech that Moshe Rabbeinu makes to the congregation. It introduces it in Vayelech. So if you look at Rashi says, Vayelech Moshe v'gomer. He doesn't say anything. So therefore Rashi leaves us the option to go to some of the other Mefarshi. So we'll take that option immediately. The Rambam over here has a pshat. Amazing Ramban over here. Kashir Ishtim Kol Devarav, after he finished all the Tochachot and Parashat Kitavo, and then Netzavim, some more stuff. Az Halchu Kol Netzavim Lefanav, V'Nashim V'Ataf Ish Lo'ohalav. Okay, then everybody went back to their tents. The speech was over. So now what happened? The Yomara Katuv Ata. Now the Pasuk is coming to say, Ki Moshe Halach Mimachane Leviya El Machane Yisrael Lichbodam. Ki Mishenot Seh Lipater Mechavero Uba Lito Reshut Memenu. It's amazing. Moshe Rabbeinu is so humble. Moshe Rabbeinu, Alav HaShalom, is now about to leave the world. Incredible. So what does he do? Before a person leaves, Derech Eretz, you go to the host, and you tell the host, listen, I had a good time, I'm planning on leaving now, Tudah Rabbah. So Moshe Rabbeinu Bayelech, the Rabban says he went from tent to tent, from Mahaneh to Mahaneh, in order to Kavod Yisrael, listen, you know, we had a good run, we had a good, season. Baruch Hashem, 40 years, we learned, we did, now it's time for me to go. Just letting you know that tomorrow I'm not going to be here anymore. Yeshua is going to be in charge. Unbelievable. So therefore, Vayelech, he went from 10 to 10. The Ibn Ezra, if I'm not mistaken, also has a similar explanation. Vayelech, meaning Ibn Ezra. Halach il kol shevet v'shevet. Mamash, he went to every tribe and tribe. Lehodiya shehumet. Shelo yifahadu. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to get scared. V'chizek libam b'divrei Yehoshua. Don't worry, I'm leaving you in good hands. My student Yehoshua is unbelievable. You have nothing to worry with. People, you could imagine how scary it was. You remember what happened, by the way, at the Egel? When they thought Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't coming back, they panicked.
Right.
They panicked, and before you knew it, there was Egel. So Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want them to get scared. Now he's leaving for good. So now he goes to them and he appeases them and says, "Lo yifadu, don't worry about it. It will be okay." So Moshe Rabbeinu vayelech. This was a visit that he made. Mamash dechol shevet. So he made this speech 12 times to the 12 shevetim. Comes to Sforno. Sforno has a different derech. Vayelech can mean to actually walk. That's the way the Ibn Ezra's learned. He actually walked from tent to tent. But Vayelech could mean not a physical walking, but to put yourself in a certain direction or to follow. I'll give you an example. You remember when Amram got married to his wife, Yocheved?
First time?
You remember the first time?
No, there was two times.
But do you have any memory of the first time?
No.
So we're talking about over here, when he remarried his wife, after he divorced her, so the Pasuk says, Vayelech ish mebet Levi. Now, it doesn't mean Vayelech, he actually walked. So it says, Halach ba'atzat ish, ba'atzat bito. He followed his daughter's advice. Remember Miriam?
Mm-hmm.
Said, Dad, what are you doing? You're getting divorced. You're worse than Paro. Paro made a gezerah only on the boys. You're making a gezerah on the girls. So when it says, Vayelech, I mean, not that he physically went, means he followed the advice. So over here, Vayelech Moshe, hit'orer lazeh. Vayelech, meaning Moshe went in his mind. Not that he physically. Kemo Vayelech ish mebet Levi. V'domehem. Which means, Vayelech, Moshe Rabbeinu had an idea. Vayelech, he had a machshava, a certain direction, a certain kivun. V'zeh shachal sheshlim inyanei kiritat berit. He just made a berit with Bnei Yisrael. Remember last week's parasha? Yes. They made what's called berit. What's berit? The covenant. That you're accepting upon yourself, the teriyak mitzvot. Berit is Gematria 6:12. Plus the lender the Fabrit Milas Kenegad, the rest of the Torah. But the point is, the Brit is referring to over the Torah itself. Yeah. They made a covenant. Lo v'recha b'brit Hashem. So what happened? After he made the covenant, it orer l'nachem et Yisrael amitato. It's amazing. He wanted to console them about his coming death. כדי שלא יערבבו שמחת הברית הראויה להם, להורות על היותם מקבלים הברית בשמחה. Unbelievable. Sifono here, Rabotai. B'nai Yisrael accepted the Brit. Sifono learns that it wasn't enough for them to accept the Brit. Of course, they accepted it, no question. It was resolute. It was unconditional. They accepted the covenant of the Torah. But do we know what their attitude was when they accepted it? What was the attitude when they accepted the Brit? Well, they said, maybe they'll say, oh my gosh, this Brit over here, we're stuck, we got this tax now. Or were they serious? Were they crying? Were they mourning? Were they jumping? What was the attitude? We don't know what the attitude was.
They re-accepted
it? Yes, it was a re-acceptance before Moshe Rabbeinu died, the Brit of the Torah, that the reconfirmation. The Torah says there's three different places where they accepted the Torah. In Arbot Ma'ah, before they went into Israel, that's the last time they accepted it. It's a reconfirmation, no problem. Do we have any indication how they accepted the Brit? Well, let's go back. Let's see when they accepted it, by the way. Let's go back to last week's Perasha.
First time they had a memo.
Right. Hayom hazeh Hashem Elohecha מסביכה לעשות את החוקים האלה ואת משפטים ושמרת ועשית אותם בכל לבביך ובכל נפשך. No problem. את השם אמרת היום לאותך לאלוהים ללכת בדרכיו לשמור מוקם ושתם ושתם ושמור מקולו. Accepting upon yourself God eternally to go in His ways, the Shua Bekolo. Vashem Emiricha Yom, God chose you and loves you. Yoto Le'am, Segula, Kashit Bilak, the Shmor Komestrotab, Utetecha Elyon, Al Kola Guim, Asher Asad Dev Shem Tafar, Utecham Kosh Shem Lekha, Kashit Bed. So it doesn't tell us anywhere over here what their attitude was. It just tells us we were chosen, God chose us, we chose God, we made a contract. So comes this phone on this week's Perasha, and he comes and tells us they had to accept it, and they accepted it b'simcha. They accepted it with joy. How does Sforno know they accepted it with joy? I read you all the Pesukim above.
It doesn't say it.
Does not say that they were happy. It says they didn't question it. So Sforno brings it ayah. If you go above, Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Zayin. You ready, boys? Chav Zayin Zayin. What does it say in Chav Zayin Zayin? Chav Zayin Zayin says, "V'zabachta shenamim ve'achalta sham v'samachta lefnei Hashem Elohecha." So after Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and tells them about the covenant, v'zabachta shelamim, they bring korban shelamim, ve'achal tasham, and they're going to eat it, v'samachta lefnei Hashem Elohecha.
Rejoiced.
Says the Sforno over there, al shetikanes az emor lebrit. So you see, we have a very important law. It's not enough to accept the brit, Rabotai. You have to accept it b'simcha. It's not enough to fulfill the religion, especially when we're giving this religion to our children. If you want the children to follow the brit,
you gotta want it.
Not only you have to want it, but you have to show that you're happy with it. But if the children think that the brit is a liability, okay, it's something you have to do. You know, it's death and taxes.
Required.
But it's not that. The Torah is a privilege. The Torah is a zechut. Asher b'harbanu, that we're chosen. They did a survey in the school recently, in one of the schools, and they asked the kids, he's in the Bet Yaakov school, or the school of the yeshivas. They said, if you had a chance to be born a goy, who would take the option? Half the class raised their hand.
Oh my God.
What does that mean? These are people that learn Torah, keep mitzvot. But obviously, the hashkafah is all wrong.
Messed up.
Obviously, they're believing. Listen, we're doing it, but if we can get off the hook, we get off the hook. 90% of the class, I'm out. They opted out. I think the teacher also raised their hand. Also. The point is, exactly, the point is, this phone was telling you, I do show over here, that the key of the accepting of the brit is, now part of the brit is, if you don't do the mitzvah, you get punished. Okay, listen, you can't accept the good without accepting the bad, but it's all good for us, it's simha. Ultimately, we're getting
reward,
and we're getting a connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So now, what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu was worried. Moshe Rabbeinu now is going to go tell him after the brit and everything that I'm going to die. Now already it's going to affect the simha. And if it's going to affect the simha, it'll be a hasaron in the whole Kabbalah. So then what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Vayelech, he had an idea. Vayelech has an idea. What's his idea? Achar sheshlim inyane kritat haberit et orel lenachem et Yisrael al mitato. He had to console them. Kede shelo ya'arbebu simchat haberit. It should not affect the simchat the berit. They have to accept the mitzvah, like it says, Yismach Yisrael be'osav. Bnei Israel will rejoice. Like it says in the pasuk, v'samachta shelamim v'achata sham, v'samachta lepnei Hashem Elohecha. So that's, so far we have three distinct pirushim on Vayelech. I'm reviewing them. Ramban, Vayelech, he went as kavod. Ibn Ezra, he went to all the Shevatim in order to tell them what? That he's going to die. So they don't get scared.
Peace them.
So don't get scared. And Sforno, Moshe Rabbeinu had to go, not physically, but he had an idea to appease them, to console them, because he didn't want to take away from the simcha that they needed to have at this point at the time of the Kabbalah Taberit. He didn't want to affect simcha Torah. So far, so good?
Einstein used to say, losing half the kids, because you say it's a schwer zu sein
ayed. It's difficult to be a Jew.
To be a Jew.
The kids say, well, I don't want to.
That's right. My father suffered. I don't want to suffer. Now let's look at the fourth interpretation. The fourth interpretation is from the Targum Yonatan ben Uzi'il. See how easy it is to give a class, gentlemen? He just quote this, he says this. Yosef Yazkis, I came all the way from Los Angeles. The guy just reading me Mefarshim.
What
did I give him for? I could have done that at all. Just tell me. Send me the cliff notes. Ramban. So it's audio book. What do we need the guy to come read us audio books for? That's what the guy thinks in his head. That's why. Okay. That's not difficult to give a class, by the way. Just read the Mefarshim to the members. Everybody says, oh, the guy's a genius. What did I do? I read the Mefarshim. I did nothing. Now I'm going to read the fourth Mefarish. That's the Targum Yonatan ben Uzi'il. Vayelech Moshe, va'azal Moshe, lamashkan bet ulfana. Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu went to the bet ulfana. What's the ulpan? The ulpan is the place where you learn. Ulpana. So he went to the ulpan. What, to learn Hebrew? Where did he go to the Ulpan? Bet Ulfana Pirusho Bet HaMidrash. Vayelech Moshe, where did he go? He went to the Bet Midrash. Also, not like the Ramban, not like Ibn Ezra, he went to the Yeshiva. I guess they had a Yeshiva over there. Mashkan Bet Ulfana. Where's he going to spend the last day of his life? He go to the Yeshiva, he go learn, second Seder, finish, before he passes away. Azar Moshe la Mashkan bet Ulfena. So there's a beautiful explanation that was said. Rabbi Friedman brings it down from the Grand Rebbe of Belz. He says a beautiful explanation from the Admor of Yisachar Dov with Belz. That's one of yours, Doc. That's a National League.
That was far.
So he says, what is Moshe Rabbeinu going to the Beit Midrash? So he explains based on the Pasuk of Tehillim. The Pasuk says, Ashrei ha-gever asher tiyaserenu ya. Lucky is the man that God gives him affliction. U'mitoratecha telamedenu. Now what is the end of the Pasuk? What is the beginning of the Pasuk? The end of the Pasuk says, and he will learn from the Torah. What is the learning of the Torah to do with Yisurin? So he says amazing one thing like this. We know that Yisurin have a tremendous value. Yisurin atone for sins. Now everybody's trying to get kapara. The Gemara says Yisurin memarkin avon. So the rabbi from Bel said that when a person goes and reads the rebuke, and he goes and studies the parashiyot that talk about the rebuke and talk about the Yisurin. So we have a rule, Unshanema Parim Sefatin, that when a person reads the rebuke, it's as if the rebuke happened to him. And therefore the Pasuk says, Ashrei Gever Asheti Yaserin Uya. Fortunate is the person that gets Yisurin. But how? Umeturatecha Telamedenu. Go learn it. Go learn the Perashiyot of the Yisurin, and virtually by learning it, it's as if what? The person experienced it. So therefore, the Pasuk is coming like this. Moshe Rabbeinu just gave them tremendous Musa, Tokahot. They were so scared from the Tokaha. If you remember last week, Moshe Rabbeinu had to come out. He told them, Atim Nitzavim, don't worry, you survived them. He had to calm them down. So says the rabbi, in this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu said, wait, I'm going to give you a way that all the tochahot will be fulfilled on you in a different way. Vayelech Moshe. He took them to the Beit Ulfana. He took them to the Beit Midrash. And he told them what? Vedaber et adabarim ha'elel kol Yisrael. They learned the tochaha and the Beit Midrash. And therefore that's a nehamat to Bnei Yisrael. That umiturateket lamedenu. That in the zechut of the limud of the Yisuni, the limud will be as if it happened to them in actuality, and therefore it'll take away the fear. That's the way he learns. However, there's another explanation that he brings down over here. He asks a simple question. He said, "Why is the place that we study Torah called the Beit Midrash? Beit Midrash." And the Targum calls it Bet Ulfana. What is the, when we come out of the Bet Knesset every day, we say, Mudani the Fanecha, Shesamta Halkim, Yishbe Bet Midrash. We call this territory Bet Midrash. So it brings an amazing Midrash. The Midrash says that when God created the world, so the letters came along and started to complain to God. The letter Aleph had a biggest complaint. What was the letter Aleph's complaint? I'm the first letter of the alphabet. Why did you start the Torah with a bet? Why did you start the Torah with Bereshit? When he's got skipped over. I know you're going to tell me, Marsh, what do you want to say? Ereshit?
Doesn't make sense.
Okay, so God could have said Elohim, Bara.
Yeah, anything.
God has many ways to figure out how to use an Aleph in the beginning.
100%.
The point is, so the Aleph came along and said.
Claims.
In it. Even the letters have claims. So what did God answer the Aleph? Don't worry. When I give the Torah, I'm starting with you. Shne'emar Anochi Hashem Elohecha. So God gave the Aleph a consolation. So the Lashon of the Midrash is 26 dorot hayta alef koret teged lifnei kisei kevodo. 26 generations he was complaining. Amra lefanav ribono shel olam, ani rishon shel otiyot, velo barat olamcha bi. Amar la kadosh baruch hu, haolam umlo'on umdibra ela bezchut haTorah. The whole world was created for the Torah. Shneimar Hashem meochma yasad eres. Lemahar ani ba liten Torah besinai. Ve'eni poteach techila ela becha. Shneimar anochi Hashem Elohecha. So the great rabbi Rosh Shlomo Kluger. Rosh Shlomo Kluger writes, he found the Midrash. Lama nebra ha'olam bebet. Why the Torah start with a bet? Azaka Baruch. Bet stands for Baruch.
Baruch, bless.
And what does Aleph stand for? Arur. So therefore, the Midrash says God did not want to start with Aleph. But that's a curse. You're starting off on the wrong foot. So God wanted to start off with Bet. That's Lashon Baruch. So he comes along and he says, the reason why he started with Bereshit has nothing to do with anything. It's Baruch. So therefore, God should have told the Aleph, listen, I can't start with you. Listen. So what are you telling him? Don't worry. I'll start with... So when it comes to Aruch, he can start with Arur? The God should have told the Aleph, listen, I'm going to tell you. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what to tell you. So it says, Rav Shlomo Kluger, bigger Hiddush. He says, the Torah over here is coming to tell you the koach of learning. God created the world initially. There was no Torah. There was no Torah. So you didn't have an item, the Torah, that's able to turn the curses into blessings. So therefore God said, I got to give you the Baruch. Now, once already God gave the Torah, now you can start it with an Aleph. Because in the Zechut of the Limud Torah, says Rosh Shlomo Kluger, it turns the Aleph into a Bet. It turns the Aleph into a Beracha. That means you don't have to worry about the Aleph once Torah is given. When do you have to worry about the Aleph? Kodem Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, there's nothing to turn the Arun into Baruch. Mm-hmm. God says, before Matan Torah, Bereshit. Once the Torah has been given, start with an Aleph. Hey, Aleph is Arun. I gave you the Torah. The Torah can turn it. Based on this, he comes along and he says, that's why we call the place where we learn Torah the Bet Midrash. The Bet. What's the Bet? The Bet is for Baruch. Because this is the place over here, the Midrash, that we're able to turn the Aleph into a Bet. Therefore, we call it a Bet Midrash. Bet Melashon Baruch. And that's the way he explains that what? The Targum explains the what? Bet Ulfena. Ulfena is with an Aleph. And therefore we call it two Lashonot. Bet Midrash, Bet Ulfena. To come and tell me what? That's what a Bet Midrash is. It's able to turn the Aleph of the Arur into the Baruch. And based on this, it brings a beautiful Gemara. The Gemara is on Shabbat, page 105. What does it say? It says there were some kids, Dardike, Atu Dardike leBet Midrasha. Some kids came to the Bet Midrash and they started giving the Dirashot on the Aleph Bet. Remember that Gemara? Over there it just gives you the Dirashot of Aleph Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hevav, gives you the whole Dirashot of the Aleph Bet. So it says, what was the first Dirashah they gave? Aleph Bet. Aleph Bina. What does Aleph stand for? Aleph. Aleph means learn. What does Bet stand for? Bina.
Bina.
Wisdom. Between study Torah. Oh, so the rabbi said, beautiful. Why is Aleph Bet Mirumaz on studying Torah? Because that's what Torah does. Torah turns the Aleph into a Bet. Through first, Aleph Bina, we turn the Arur into Baruch. With this, he makes a tremendous diyuk in the Gemara. Rabotai, do not minimize this diyuk. Why does the Gemara introduce these dirashot of the alphabet when it says, Atu dardike ha'idana lebet midrasha, that the children came to the Bet Midrash? Just say, they were Doresh. And not saying, Dafka, when they came to the Bet Midrash, Because the Bet Midrash is the Makom, what? The Bet. That's the Makom that the Kedara turns into a Beracha. So when they came to the Bet Midrash, the first thing they said is Aleph Bina, Aleph Bet. And that's what the Gemara means. Im Paga Becha Menuval Ze Moshkehu the Bet Midrash. Exactly. Who's the Menuval? The Yetzer Hara. The Gemara says, if the Yetzer Hara gets a hold of you, what should you do with him?
Take him to the Beit Midrash.
Beautiful. Take him to the Beit Midrash. Don't take him to the movies.
No.
Take him to the Beit. He wants to take you to the movies.
That's for the,
instead,
the TV.
Instead, watch TV, exactly. Go learn Torah, watch TV. Instead of taking him to the movies with him, Ella, take him to the Beit Midrash. Oh, so the Gemara, what's going to happen to him? The Gemara has an interesting language. Im Eben Hu Nimoah. He'll melt. Im Barzel, if he's iron, mit potsets. It will, explode. So the Rav over here comes along and says, the Rimazim first is what? Who's the Yetzer Hara? The Nahash. What did it say about the Nahash? Arur Ata.
Curse.
You're under the cast and under the spell of what? Arur. What do you do when you have Arur? Bring him to the Beit Midrash. What is the Beit Midrash going to do? It's going to turn the Arur into
Baruch.
Beracha. Aleph Bina. That's why the Gemara gives two lishonot. Im Eben Hu, Im Barzel, Aleph Bet, which is giving a reference over Eben Barzel, the koach of the Bet Midrash in overturning the kiddush. So if a person comes to the rabbi and says, Rabbi, I'm interested, I feel like I have bad luck. I know everything I'm doing, it turns sour. Mm. Everything I do, I push it goes the other way. I can't do anything right. So what are you supposed to tell the guy? Go to the Beit Midrash. You're not in the Beit Midrash long enough. The Beit Midrash has an uncanny ability to turn the Aleph into a Bet.
Right.
You're spending too much time in the street. You're spending too much time in the newsstand. In the TV, exactly. In the Toeva. So therefore, you have to come back to the Beit Midrash. Based on this, we go back to our Gemara. Our pasuk over here, Moshe Rabbeinu just gave the curses. And the curses were 98 curses of Parashat Ki Tavo. So now, what happened over here? Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to tell the people that don't worry, there's a way to turn the curses into beracha. So, what does the pasuk say? Va'ayelech Moshe. And what does the pasuk say? He went to the Beit Midrash. And what does the Targum explain Beit Midrash? Beit Ulfena. Beit Midrash, he calls it what? Beit Ulfena. What is it, Beit Ulfena? Beit Aleph. Beit Ulfena. Beit Ulfena means he sent him to the place where the Baruch and the Arur. Were you able to turn the Kelalot, Baruch Abba Abraham? Were you able to turn the Kelalot into Berachot? So therefore, specifically at this point, he goes to the Beit Midrash. The Beit Midrash is a place where the Kelalot will be mitigated. Fine. But there's a deep explanation. The explanation is the following. There's an old tradition that says that if you quote a Tamid Chacham after he passes away, and you quote his Torah, something happens to the Sadiq in the Kevir. His lips move. Now, Jacob, this hasn't been proven scientifically. I know you like the science, so I cannot prove it scientifically. I'm sorry. You're going to tell me where I'm going to be. They didn't prove it scientifically. The guy's lips move when he passes away. Harvard hasn't come to that truth yet. I can't answer you. Again, exactly. I have to say they're usually about 5,000 years behind. They lag. The academia lags the Torah by like 5,000 years. So you have to wait. They'll get there eventually. And then he says, I told you so. So just take my word. The Gemara says when a person speaks to
Bria
Torah,
they
get there 6,000 and so. It'll be over, exactly. So sometimes they won't make it. The point is, What's the benefit of Siftot Avdu Vebot Bekever? What was the benefit of that? So the Hadush of the Mefarshim is that they get reward. Normally you can't get reward after a person passes away. But Metim Chofshi, that's it, you're free. However, if a rabbi passes away and I quote, oh, Rabbi Shlomo Kluger said this, mm-hmm. all of a sudden Shlomo Kluger getting me, how do you get reward? You're learning. Am I learning? He lifts a movie. The guy's quoting you. That's why it's so important. Whenever you quote the Divrei Torah,
say the name.
Exactly. Say the name. Why not give the guy a zechut? Give the guy a benefit. Hazid, he came up with these hadushim. You're not going to give the guy a benefit?
Credit.
But I had a question once. My question was, you know, there's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says that one time, one of the rabbis told his son, could you go to the place over there and come back and tell me how the rabbi makes Havdalah? He didn't know how the rabbi makes Havdalah. So instead of him going, he sent Abaye. So Abaye came back and reported. So the rabbi got angry at his son. He said, I told you to go. He said, what's the difference? We got the information. He said, yeah, but if you would have went, they would have said that hadush in your name for now on.
Mm-hmm. Invisible.
You missed that item now. Now whenever they're going to quote this halakha, who are they going to quote? Abaye. Because he's the one that reported it. So then you lost that on that zechut over there. So then, well, don't give up a chance to be hadesh hadushim to say something. But my question was, let's say if I'm quoting a Divrei Torah, and I say, I heard this from my Rabbi Acham Baruch, alav shalom.
Okay.
But Acham Baruch heard it from Acham Ezra Atiyah. So now I want to know who gets the
student or the rabbi.
So the doctor already gives us a cut verdict. Finished. The Supreme Court justice has spoken here today.
If Chaim said, Chaim all his Torah, And then Rav Velvel said it, Rav Yosef Ber said it, they all got credit from the Brisket Torah.
So, everybody's learning Brisket Torah. So, you're saying a big Hadush. You're saying that the Gabis Siftot Avdu Vevot Bekever, the electricity, yet whoever quotes, so therefore, in 120, when you say, Rabbi Mansour, I remember you used to say the name of Rabbi Baruch, that said the name of, and you keep on going all the way down, Had Gadya. And you go all the way back to the Zabin Ababat Rezuzeh, and they all have...
What's my proof?
What's your proof? I'd love to know.
Moshe Rabbeinu. Everything we said, we get from Moshe
Rabbeinu. What about New Torah?
Go slow. So Rav Hida brings a remez to this truth that you just said, Doc. He says, how do you know that when a person dies, he can still have Torah? So he says, Zot Torat Adam... Yamut be'ohel. That even though the guy is Yamut, even though the guy died, Zot Torah. So there's a possible guy who's dead. That he can, yes, Zot Torah Adam ki Yamut. How could a guy who's Yamut be'ohel? Because in the oil of Torah and the Yeshiva, they're quoting him. But then he says, Kol haba ila ohel. That not only the one that they're quoting, but kol haba ila ohel, that all the people that are quoted in the ohel, which is all the different tzaddikim that are connected to that Divrei Torah, they're also considered what? Zot Torat Adam ki yamut be'ohel. That even, not only the actual person that you're quoting, but what? Kol haba. Whoever the Hadush came from, everybody on the line is going to get credit as well. That's Ida's remez, that your truth is correct. So now what? It's a big hadush. So therefore, what Moshe Rabbeinu?
One more thing: we say it 50 others.
No, that's Moshe Zika. It's a
chutzah Rabbeinu,
right? Moshe Rabbeinu, 100%.
I'm sure.
There is a proof from Moshe Rabbeinu that every time we say the Divrei Torah, that's what we're getting to. So now what happens? We know that after a person dies, he's considered an omed. What does it mean, omed? He's stagnant. What does it mean he's stagnant? He can't move anymore.
Can't go up.
He can't go up anymore. Why? He can't do any more mitzvot.
Can't move up.
The only way he can move up is through others. Like we're learning now.
Children.
Or students. We can elevate Moshe now. Yeah. How? We're quoting the Torah of Moshe. So when you quote the Torah of Moshe, Stiftotav Tovevot Bekever, and therefore it's like he's learning, and therefore we can elevate, although he cannot elevate himself, but he gets elevated through others. And therefore it's possible for a met to be a holech, to be constantly moving. So based on this, the pasuk is to be read like this. Vayelech Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be b'b'chinat vayelech. Even though he's passing away, he doesn't want to be stagnant. So he wants to guarantee that what?
He'll go up.
He'll go up. So what did he do? Where did he go? He went to the Beit Midrash. And when he went to the Beit Midrash, Vayedaber et devarim ha'ele el kol Yisrael. He spoke the words in the Beit HaMidrash and he told them that as long as you learn my words in the Beit HaMidrash after I pass away, Vayelech Moshe, I will still be able to be Vayelech. I will still have movement. So he was giving them a last will and testament how to ensure Moshe Rabbeinu's growth in Olam Haba. Vayelech Moshe. What do you mean Vayelech? He wants to move. He doesn't want to be stagnant. So the Targum says what? He went to the Beit Ulfina. He went to the Beit Midrash. And what? Vayedaber et the devarim ha'el el ko Yisrael. He spoke to the devarim ha'el ko Yisrael. Right? He commanded them that you must speak these words in the Beit Midrash, even if I passed away. Why? Because then it'll give me the zechut of Be'er. But there's the fifth explanation. What does it mean, this Bet Ulfina? Rabotai, what does it mean when the Pasuk says, I'm 120 years today. Lo uchal od latzit velavo. I can't go in, I can't go out. And we know Moshe Rabbeinu did not weaken. You understand this? Moshe Rabbeinu was not weakened. His eyesight was 20/15 to the end of his life. He was spry. He didn't lose a skip in his step. Understand? So what does it mean? I can't go in, I can't go out anymore. Why not? So look what Rashi says. Yachol shetashash kocho. You think he became weak? Tabur lomar. Lo kahata eno velo nas lecho. Clog them up. He's I can't talk and learning anymore with you people. The masoret of the chokhmah is locked up. Wow. Why should Moshe Rabbeinu retain his physical strength and lose his... What does it mean? Arbotai, how do you learn this Rashi? What does it mean? Shenistatemu memenu masoret. He couldn't get over the masoret anymore. Umayanot ha-chokhmah. The wellsprings of wisdom dried up.
That comes from this, the neshama goes back to Hashem.
Yeah, I understand that, but he was still alive. Lo uchal v'latzit. To that, I'm done. I can't do it. Why not? It sounds like on the last day of his life, Moshe Rabbeinu lost the masoret. I said, I can't give up. Now you're Yoshua. So I saw, yesh dorshim l'shevach. Oh, so beautiful what he says. Moshe Rabbeinu reached the level which is called the 49th level. There's 50 levels called Shaare Bina. Ever Shaare Bina? There's 50 levels of Shaare Bina. The Pasuk says by Moshe, "Vatehasereu me'at." He was just missing a little. Vatehasereu me'at. Something happened on the day of his death. Moshe Rabbeinu was upgraded from the 49th level to the 50th level. He received Hamishim Sha'ar Bina. Now I have to tell you about Hamishim Sha'ar Bina. Hamishim Sha'ar Bina, once you're studying Torah on that level, it's a new Torah. It's not the, okay, it's a Tosafot, aka like Shahadush. No. The Torah of the 50th level is a different level of the Torah. And therefore, on that day, Moshe Rabbeinu says, my Ma'ayanot of Chokhmah that I had now, I cannot give over anymore because I'm on a much higher level now. And that Torah, you're not up to that Torah yet. Therefore, I don't have the Masoret to give this over yet. This Torah that I have now is only for when Mashiach comes. I cannot give over this Torah. Understand? It says in the Sefarim that when Mashiach comes, it's going to be a new Torah. What's a new Torah? It's going to be the Torah of Shaar Hamishim. Mashiach, Rashi Tevot. Mashiach, Mashiach. Mashiach, I'll give you the Rashi Tevot. Mashiach. The head is Hamishim, obviously.
50.
Yigale, the Yud is Yigale. Sha'ar. Right. Mashiach, Shigale. Mashiach. Right. Shigale.
Mashiach,
Yigale, Sha'ar Hamishim. Exactly. Mashiach, Yigale, Sha'ar Hamishim. Which means when Mashiach comes, he's going to reveal to us the 50th level. Moshe Rabbeinu got on that level when he died. They give a remiss to this. It says, when Moshe Rabbeinu died, God says, he died Be'arbot Mo'av, Al-Har Nevo. Doesn't it say that in the end of Zot HaBeracha? Zot HaBeracha, the pasuk says, "Vayikbor oto begai be'eres Moav." They buried him in Eres Moav. "Vaya'al Moshe ma'arbot Moav." Moshe Rabbeinu rose from Arbot Moav in Har Nevo. So the Mekubalim say, if you take the word Moav, Mem Vav Aleph Bet is 49. Vayal Moshe Ma'arbot Moav. He elevated from Moav in Har Nevo, Nevo Nun Bo. That he went from 49 to 50. Moshe Ala in Ha Elohim. Moshe Rabbeinu rose a notch. And therefore, when it says at the end of the Perasha, that he couldn't converse with them. He said, "Listen, I'm not because I'm clogged up." He says, "I'm done with the 49 already. I'm on 50. You're not going to understand me. Therefore, I don't have the masoret to give this over yet." I saw brought down the Mekubalim from the Arizal. Arizal says, remember we had that Gemara that says, or the Midrash that says the Aleph complained, "Hey, what about me? What about you?" Remember that Aleph complained, the complaining Aleph? So the Arizal says like this. There's different ulamot. The highest of the ulamot is called Atzilut. The ulam right under Atzilut is called what? Right on the Atzilut, what is it called? Okay, Baruch Hashem. You learned something today. The Olam right on the Atzilut is Beriyah. Abiyah. Atzilut, Biriyah, Yitzira, Asiyah. The Torah that we have comes from Olam HaBiriyah. However, La'atid Lavo, La'atid Lavo, the Torah is going to come from Olam HaAtzilut. It's going to come from the higher. But now, so that's why the Torah has to start with a bet. Torah starts with a bet because, listen, this Torah, so God, as if it's telling the Aleph, slow down. Your time is gonna come. Your time is not for now. The Aleph is for Atzilut. The Atzilut is going to be Latid Lavo. Oh, so what happened? On the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died, Vayelech. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu go? So what does the Targum say? He went to the Bet Ulfena. Bet Ulfena, calls that the Bet Midrash. What does it mean, Bet Ulfena? He went from the Bet to the Aleph. He went from the Bet to the Ulfena. Ulfena is Botiyot what? Aleph. Ulfena is Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu had an upgrade. On that day, it's telling Moshe Rabbeinu's level. He went from Bet Ulfena, he went from the level of Olam HaBriyah to the Aleph of Olam HaTzilut. And therefore he said, oh, Chal, I cannot teach people in Olam HaBriyah a Torah that's coming from Olam HaTzilut. So the Targum is giving you over here, not necessarily went to the Bet Midrash per se. Bet Ulfena, what's calling it that? Bet Ulfena means Bet Aleph. What is it, Bet Ulfena? Bet Aleph. That's what it means, Aleph Bina. Remember we learned in the Gemara? What does Aleph Bina mean? Aleph Bina means Aleph is the Atzilut. And what's an Atzilut? Bina. That's Hamishim Shari Bina. That's the goal. Aleph Bina. To get to that highest Madriga. So Moshe Rabbeinu already reached the level. But once you reach such a high level, there's no connection between the Tamidim. And therefore it says, Lucham. Lucham. Not allowed. I'm not possible. Therefore Yeshua. Pene Moshe Kepne Hama. Pene Yeshua Kepne Lebanah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the sun. They couldn't look at the sun anymore. It was too bright. They need to connect. So therefore, the Pasuk of Vayelech is such.
Yes, the verse said, we were talking before.
Yeah.
Moshe Kibel Torah Sinai, whom is thoroughly
correct.
Why Kibel? Why wasn't it?
Couldn't give everything.
Right.
Moshe Rabbeinu received everything, but whatever Moshe Rabbeinu was, Yeshua was able to be. That's right. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Beautiful. So you see over Rabotai, we have now five different interpretations, distinct, of how to learn the beginning of the parasha. And I review them very quickly. Moshe, first we said the Ramban. Lichbodam Shei Yisrael. I'm checking out. Listen, Rabotai, please, you're not going to see me tomorrow. I got to let you know I'm going back. Ibn Ezra. Not to scare them. You're going to get scared. Moshe Rabbeinu is gone. Don't worry. I'm giving you good hands. I left you in good hands. Yeshua, my successor, he's going to take care of you. No problem. Sforno. He went to console them. Because he said, listen, I just gave them the brit. And I don't want to ruin the simcha. The brit has to be given the simcha. And therefore, Yisma' Yisrael be'osav. Yisma' Yisrael be'osav. Like this Sforno quote. Smell what you said, Bosab, exactly. So therefore he went to them and said, don't worry. Don't lose the Simha. That's explanation number three. Explanation number four is from the rabbi from Bells. The rabbi from Bells said that he was worried that what? They just heard the Kinalot. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Vayelech Moshe, he went to the Beit Midrash, the Targum says. And what did he do with the Beit Midrash? Like the Ben, he read the Kedalot, the Beit Midrash. Because he says, when you read the Kedalot, it's like they fulfilled. Then we explained from Rabbi Pinchas, he had a sixth interpretation. That what? That he explained why the Beit Midrash turns the Kedalot into Beracha. That it turns the Arur into a Baruch. That's what the Torah, before the Torah was given, starts off with Baruch, because there's nothing to turn it. But after that was given, Anuchi Hashem, Kisawar and Aleph. Why? But, the Torah turns the Kedalot. You don't have to worry about the Aleph anymore. The Aleph can be switched. That's why we call it a Bet Midrash. And that's why the Gemara calls it the Targum Bet Ulfena, Bet Aleph. Baruch Aluf, Baruch Aleph, Bet Aleph. That's the sort of a Bet Midrash. So Moshe Rabbeinu was telling you, don't have to worry. Go learn Torah and the Kedah won't come on you. You don't have to worry about it. That was the sixth explanation. The seventh explanation we said was, he was coming along to say, learn my teachings after I pass away so I will be a Vayelich. I don't want to be stagnant. So they were Vayelich Moshe. How? He took him to the Bet Midrash. Read these words in the Bet Midrash, my words, and therefore I will have a constant
upgrade.
And the eighth explanation we said is based on the Arizal. Moshe Rabbeinu on the last day of his life, he reached a level of 50. And therefore, he went from Biri'ah to Atzilut. And therefore, the Pasuk says, Vayelech Moshe, where did he go? Bet Ulfena. He went from the Bet, from Olam Biri'ah, to Ulfena, to the Aleph, to Atzilut. And therefore, what did he say to them? Lo Ucham. Lo Ucham. I'm unable. Not unable because I don't have the goods.
I'm
shy. You know what it's like, Nassim? It's like they changed the voltage. So they went from 110 to 220.
220.
So now you can't. You want to plug into Moshe. You can't plug in anymore. It's an Israeli outlet over here. You can blow up the shaver. So then we don't want different voltage anymore. We went from the 110 to 220. Okay, Rabotah, we'll stop over here. Baruch Hashem.
Amen.
Tomorrow another 9?